Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live? It's based on the closing chapters of Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapters 13 through to chapter 16. This is study number 10, based on Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 21, entitled Be Faithful. As I always encourage you, start with some kind of light refreshment and offer, you know, some sort of snack, some sort of drinks, just to get the chit-chat going and have people interacting. I think it's an important part of what you're doing through the night. When that bit comes to a logical end, move into a different space, and as group leader, ask the two questions that I encourage you to ask, and this helps to develop community as well. What are you thankful for? What would you like prayer for? Just record those. Just note the person's name or initials and jot down, you know, TF, thankful, and PP, prayer point, and so that at the end of the night, you're going to remind the group of the prayer point and all those prayer points, and have each person in the group, starting on your left, pick one of those prayer points and pray for the various needs that they've heard through the night. As group leader, just be sensitive to the fact that throughout the night, someone may share something that may also become a prayer point. And you may even say, look, I think we should pray for that at the end of the study. It's a great way also if someone is beginning to perhaps overshare some of their trials or whatever they're going through, just to be able to acknowledge that and also keep the group on track so that you can finish on time. So the opening paragraph, you might want to encourage someone to read this opening paragraph, but it says this. The Christian message is countercultural, and there are many things which mainstream culture, which Jesus called the world, and we can see that in John chapter 14, verse 17, where it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. And also in John 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Christ is using perhaps the word we might use as culture. He's using it. He's using the word world, but we're meaning the same thing. So the things which mainstream culture or the world approves of and even encourages, that which the gospel confronts and condemns. This is why sharing the gospel with those who are unfamiliar with it comes with many challenges and often much resistance. Based on Romans chapter 15, verse 14, which says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. How many positive attributes does Paul credit the Romans with? Well, we just saw the three that Paul credits the Roman believers with. You are full of goodness, so they're living a good life in a morally corrupt, decadent society. They are filled with all knowledge, so they're filled with the knowledge of God. And thirdly, they're able to instruct one another. These are commendable things. And I guess as group leader, you might ask the question, if we were to just, you know, do a stock take on how we're doing with this, how are we doing? How are we doing with this? And let the group have a discussion about that. It sort of counters, I guess, the idea that the pastor has to do it all as well. Question two, Paul states that despite these positive attributes, it was necessary for him to write boldly to the Romans. He says, by way of reminder, Romans 15, verse 15, which says, but on some points I've written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God. What is it within this epistle that Paul might have considered that he was being very boldly about or very bold about? And I guess we could reflect over the epistle and we could see that Paul wrote to them about matters of salvation. He was very bold about the grace of God. He's also spoken about Jew and Gentile relationships. He's also spoken about the nature of Christian love and how that interaction of Christian love should have some very practical outcomes. He's also brought into this discussion judging one another and judging one another based on the day of the week that we observe or the type of food we eat or don't eat. And he's written very boldly about these things. So it actually raises the point that here Paul has raised some of the disagreements within the church. And again, this is probably worth a discussion. Can you be in fellowship with someone when you don't agree on everything together? And hopefully the answer is yeah. In fact, it's going to be impossible not to, because we will never completely and entirely agree on matters of opinion and things like this, even when it comes to the Word of God. Question three, why then, noting Romans chapter 15, verse 16, which says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. Interesting expression, that priestly service. So that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So noting that scripture passage, would Paul hope that his ministry to the Gentiles might prove to be acceptable? So reading that question again, why then, based on that verse, would Paul hope that his ministry to the Gentiles prove to be acceptable? So I've got some three multiple choice answers here. Firstly, A, Gentile culture in Paul's day was particularly ungodly. B, God was reluctant to admit Gentiles into the kingdom of heaven. And C, Gentiles did not know how to obey the rules of the Old Testament. Or they did not know about the rules of the Old Testament. So what was it that Paul was hoping for? Well, essentially the Gentiles were reluctant about the ethical code of God's word already. Now remember that there was no New Testament yet, and their knowledge, the Gentiles' knowledge was at a somewhat of a disadvantage because they weren't familiar with the Old Testament. So question four, since boasting is wrong, and it says that, for example, Psalm 12, verse 3, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. And it also says in Psalm 75, verse 4, I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn or brag about your own strength. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So since boasting is wrong, based on those scriptures we've seen that, why was Paul right to boast in Romans 15, verse 17? And he says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. So we also can refer to other scriptures which might give a bit of a balance here. Jeremiah 9:24, for example. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So we see that there's a type of boasting, and again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So the kind of boasting that is acceptable, which is what Paul's doing here, is the kind of boasting that glorifies God and what he has done. Question five. When Paul preached to the Gentiles, how did many of them respond to the gospel he preached? And what did Paul claim was the cause for this? So Romans 15, verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. So what was the result of Paul's preaching to the Gentiles? Well, they accepted the gospel and they were prepared to obey it in word and in deed. So in other words, not just say they obey it, but they were prepared to put roll up their sleeves and demonstrate that they were now transformed by the Holy Spirit and faithful. And what cause did Paul say had produced this? Well, it was Christ working through him. So the cause was the work of Christ through Paul, and may we all experience that too. Question six, How did Paul say he was able to fulfill his ministry? Romans chapter 15, verse 19. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. How did Paul say he was able to fulfill his ministry? By the power of the Holy Spirit, confirming his preaching with signs and wonders. What lessons can we learn from this? Well, we can learn the lesson that if the Apostle Paul was reliant on the power of the Holy Spirit, we should too. We should be reliant upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the very least, we should be open to the work of the Spirit in our midst as well. Question 7, how did Paul decide where to minister next? Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, which says, And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Verse 21, but as it is written, those who have never heard have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So how did Paul decide where he was going to preach, what he was going to, or where he was going to aim his ministry? And clearly he says, where Christ has never been preached before. That was his aim. His aim was to preach where the gospel had not yet been preached. What can we learn from this? I think we can learn that what we have called church planting, which may well be church planting, but what we have generally called church planting, is often done in areas where there's already a gospel witness, and perhaps the most urgent witness is needed where there actually still to this day is no gospel witness. It still actually points to the fact that cross-cultural missions is still vitally important in our day, knowing that there are still people groups around our globe who have not yet ever heard the name of Christ, have not yet ever heard the gospel. And maybe when I say cross-cultural missions, you're thinking, go to some foreign culture. But what's happening now with global migration is that God's actually bringing these cultures to us, to our doorstep. So this might involve reaching out to Muslims. I encourage you to have a look at Acts 17 apologetics and have a listen to what Dr. David Wood says about reaching Muslims on our doorstep. Powerful stuff. All right, you reached the end of that, and hopefully you've had some positive discussion. I think I've kind of breezed through this quickly, but I hope you can glean from this some of the insights that you can use through your study. As you have also picked up maybe some prayer points that have come out in addition to those that were offered as you went around the room, now you can remind the group, these are the prayer points that were raised, invite the person on your left to commence praying for one of those and invite each person in the group to pray for one of the prayer points that were mentioned. And then any prayer points that were missed, you as group leader mop up at the end and remind the group, as some group leaders do, this is what's coming up next. It'll be study number 11, which is called Be Thinking Ahead, based on Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 29. I'm Andrew Corbett, and I really do trust that you are gaining and your group is gaining from studying together along these study lines.